I would invite you to take a Bible and turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. If you're trying to figure out where that is, it's way, way over near the back. 1 John chapter 5, as we read verses 1 through 6 in the Pew Bible, it's page 1067. 1 John 5, 1 through 6. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey His commandments. For the love of God is this, that we obey His commandments. And His commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God conquers the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, our faith. Who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with the water only, but with the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one that testifies, for the Spirit is the truth. Mikey was being particularly loud and rambunctious on this day. He wouldn't stay still. He ran around the house. He'd pick up a drum and run around banging the drum as loudly as he could and singing in his off-key voice to the top of his lungs. He'd drop the drum. He'd run around shooting all the bad guys that his imagination could muster. After a while, a couple of hours of this, his mother had finally had enough, and in frustration, she uttered those words at him, "For the love of God, Mikey, will you just sit down and be quiet?" I know no one in here has ever said that to anybody, but Mikey's mom did. Mikey paused for a moment, and just before continuing his rambunctious ways, he said, "Okay, Mommy, let me know when he gets here and I'll sit down with him." Now, Mikey's mom spoke out of frustration. And perhaps we know the feeling. Mikey had something interesting in what he had to say, though. "Let me know when God gets here, and I will sit down with him." That little insight says something about truly doing things for the love of God and in the love of God, regardless of what level we might be in our Christian walk. The passage today takes a much different approach to the phrase "for the love of God" than Mikey's mom did, however. And I want us to think together for a few moments on this passage. Retired minister and New Testament scholar Peter Ray Jones writes that here we encounter, quote, "a stirring text on faith, the power that conquers the world." Not surprisingly, given the Christological conflict within the community, but significantly, the passage utilizes the language of credence with a dynamism not only of confession, but continuing to believe. Because when we look in verses 1 and 5 here, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ. And in verse 5, who is it that conquers the world but the one who believes, is in the present tense. Hence, as an active affirmation, not just passive acceptance. End of quote. What all that means is the writer understood that accepting the love of God in Jesus wasn't just something that we said, "Okay, here it is, now I can passively sit by and I'm okay." But for the love of God, our belief was to be and is to be an active confession, something that we do regularly. in the way we live our lives. Now, while this passage begins with belief, what some would call faith, we find that there is more than merely statement of belief as the text moves to action. There's always, within the writing of 1 John, but also in the Gospels for the most part, in much of the writing of Paul, and certainly in the writing of the letter of James, there is a connection between believing and being actually begotten by God, so that believing becomes a sign of authentic Christianity as we live it in our lives. Throughout the New Testament, we find that belief, if it is true, if it is deep, must come forth in action, active commitment. And here, we find that if we truly believe, we are begotten as well. We are begotten of God through Jesus as active believers. Jesus didn't sit back and let people serve Him. Rather, Jesus actively served. Believing leads to and comes from loving. Believing leads to and comes from loving. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the parent loves the child. Most translations speak of loving the parent and the child, as mine does here. Though the Greek text can be translated as everyone who loves the begetter loves all the begotten. That is, we don't just love the parent, but we are called to love all the children of the parent. We don't just love God, but if we love God, we are called to love all the children of God, even when we don't get along with them sometimes. God calls us to love. But to speak of love is not the primary evidence. Sharing and doing love for all the children is the evidence of authentic Christianity. Not the number of times you go to church or Sunday school or outings, not the number of times you sit down and pray privately, though I am not putting any of those down. I think they're important elements to being authentic Christians. But also another element of authentic Christianity here is that we love not only God, but we love the begotten of God, and not just Jesus. What is here is almost a series also of tests. Tests of our belief in God and Jesus the Christ. And so I want to spend a few moments talking about what these test questions might be. We're coming up to the end of the school year. Many of us have already graduated school, sometimes multiple times, but do we ever truly graduate the school of life? Not until we're wheeled out. So as we think about these tests, first of all, believing Jesus is the Christ. That's the first test. Not saying Jesus is the Christ, but actually believing within us, with our hearts and our minds, that Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Messiah. Believing Jesus is the Son of God. Anyone who believes Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And then later we're told we believe, verse 5, who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So check 1 and check 2, right? We believe not only Jesus is Christ, but Jesus is Son of God. Yeah, remember a few moments I said that true believing is not merely passive acceptance. If that's all it were, it'd be a whole lot easier, right? We'd just check a couple of little blocks here and there, and it's all said and done. But it's not mere passive acceptance. The active affirmation of belief is found in the next few verses. While God revealed in Jesus and through Jesus is lovable, that is, God is revealed in Jesus and through Jesus, and that God is lovable because of His incredible redemptive love, this God, who is goodness, light, and love, invites us to give a response. Now, if you're Calvinist, a strong Calvinist, you'll hold that that love comes because God forced that love in some sense. However, throughout most of the New Testament, we find there's choice, 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 and choosing whether to follow that God of goodness, light, and love or not. He offers and invites us to give a loving response. It's not just an offhanded response, but a loving response that shows forth in love for God, but love for neighbor. And here is where the test gets tougher, or whatever metaphor you want to use, whatever idiom, where the water hits the wheel, where the rubber meets the road, where the hammer meets the head. Now, we're talking about a nail. We're called to loving response by loving God and loving those begotten by God. All of the begotten. Well, how in the world can we do this? Because, you know, quite frankly, there's some I really don't want to love, right? They do things that hurt. They do things that are harmful. They do things I don't agree with. So how in the world can we do that? I mean, we're part of the larger family of Christianity, but everybody knows, and I know there's some other groups that decided to follow our example, but everybody knows that Baptists multiply by dividing over key issues like the color of the hymnal, the color of the carpet, and how many verses of Just As I Am are appropriate. So how in the world can we do this? Well, as one writer puts it, and I quote, "Those who love God are fortunate because they are shaped and fashioned by what they love." Jesus urged His disciples to love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Those who love in all of these ways have all the faculties shaped by God's love and have all the opportunity to love as God loves. End of quote. And I would contend that this loving is not just loving God, but everyone else in Christ. The only way we can do it is to love them through Christ. Because we in and of ourselves cannot truly love as God would love, can we? We're the creatures. Christians are called to come together in community. And that call is a call for reciprocal love. We're not called together just to come to sing some hymns, to pray some prayers, to have a Sunday school lesson, to hear someone ramble on, and then go home and check that off for the week. Our call by God is to come and gather together as a community and show reciprocal love. Reciprocal love to God, but also love to each other and reciprocate. And when we do that, we replicate that love that God shares with us. Christians are called not only to love our parents, but all our siblings. All our Christian siblings. In relationships. You know, it's oftentimes more of a challenge to love fellow Christians than to love God. And it's oftentimes more of a challenge to love fellow Christians who are like us than to love other Christians. But one of the tests of love of God and love for God, that is, the love of God that's in us and the love we have for God, is even to love the obnoxious and the obstinate and the oppressive. You know, there's some people who even die for a lack of love. I ran across a story a few weeks ago when I was researching for this and writing. And it's told by Brian Kirkland, a Lutheran orphanage in Germany, had a larger-than-life deaconess. According to the story, she was larger than life in more ways than one, not just in what she did, but she was rather large. But rather jovial and caring. And during a time when a group was going around doing surveys and checking out pediatric orphanages in Germany, the surveyors came to this particular orphanage. And Anna, they were told, this was the woman, Anna was their miracle drug at the orphanage. The chief of staff was leading the people around, said, "See that woman over there? Her name's Anna. She's our miracle drug." And he went on to say, "When we have a baby for whom we can't do anything else, we give it to Anna. She holds it constantly. She loves it deeply. She cuddles it, humors it, and plays with it as if that's the only person in the world. Anna brings it back to life." Mutual love is not only an affirmative action, but mutual love and respect can bring life back when it seems to be ebbing. It can bring life back in relationships. It can bring life back in churches. It can bring life back in families. It can bring life back in the world. But only when we bring this love through obedience to God. I quote Peter Ray Jones again. "A respecting of the divine will that eventuates in lived out truth is loving God and keeping His commandments." In fact, the text here says, how do we prove that we are His children? By keeping His commandments. How do we find out what God is like? By keeping His commandments. Living the Christian life is not a bothersome burden. And the writer says it's not to be a burdensome task, the keeping of God's commandments, i.e., living as Christ would call us to live. But it is truly the avenue that leads to life. It is the road by which we not only find life, but the road by which we help others find their way to God's grace. And God can be seen where Christians love each other. People say, "I mean, you can't believe in God. How can you see God? I don't see God. How can you see God?" Mary said that in her Sunday school lesson this morning, they were talking at the beginning about things that you can see and things that you can't see, but they're there. Some of the answers were air, wind, natural gas, God, other things. But how can you know that God is real? "Well, I can't see God. I don't know God's real." Know that God is real by the love that Christians share with each other and with others. And he says that this is the faith that overcomes the world. Love for fellow Christians and keeping God's commandments. Knowing that Jesus is the Son of God And living it is the faith that overcomes the world. So what does it look like for a believer to overcome the world? It looks like liberation from bondage. Liberation from potentially overpowering and harmful desire. And it looks like liberation for love. Liberation for love. We oftentimes seek to jettison hate. I know people that say hate is not an appropriate word in their household, and you can't use hate. And you can't use mad. My grandmother, as I've told you, used to say, dogs get mad, people get angry. I said, well, I'm mad. And she said, well, but you're not foaming at the mouth yet. So, oftentimes, we think about hate as being something that is so prevalent in the world, and it is. And we seek to jettison it, to overcome it. But how do we do that? We do that as a way of life, of love. Overcoming the world and the world's demands is found in walking in the light. Living a righteous life of loving, just as Jesus loves. Which one of us is truly good enough for Him to have come and died? Out of love. He didn't come and die because we were good enough. He came and died out of love so that we might truly be better. It wasn't just about getting a ticket to ride. No, I'm not going to sing that one. That wasn't the purpose. The purpose was so that we could truly have a life of love beginning now. And that we could multiply that love by sharing it. I have to admit, the two most important humans in my life are two of the ladies in my life that light up my life like nothing else, and that's Mary and that 3.5-year-old Sydney. And to get a hug, Mary gave me a series of pictures last year. When I look at them, they just about bring tears. They're all from behind, and in every one of them, that little girl's got hold of my hand. She still reaches up for my hand when we go across the street or we go somewhere. We're walking through the yard yesterday, and we held hands when we ran through the sprinkler. Someday she's not going to hold my hand. But there's nothing like that particular feeling and that particular action. Yeah, we could hold hands and sing Kumbaya till the cows come home. But until we truly mean it and show it in other ways, that would not be as meaningful. But what we are called to do is overcome the world's demands by loving as Jesus loves. By keeping God's commandments, we work out that love in our own lives. Especially the command that Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. Such love, such care, overcomes and keeps on overcoming. Overcoming hatred, overcoming hard feelings, overcoming our fallen humanity as it issues forth in belief, obedience, and grace shown for someone else. We sometimes look at someone and say, There go I, but for the grace of God. But perhaps we need to change that and say, there I will go and help for the love of God. May we pray. Lord, there are times when words are inadequate. There are times when feelings overwhelm. We ask that when words are inadequate, that the feeling that overwhelms is that which overcomes the world, and that your love and your grace will issue forth in and through us for the love of God. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, our hymn of decision, is hymn number 429. Our altar is open for any decision that anyone would make. 429 is, they'll know we are Christians. And we sing this song, but as I said earlier, how will people know the existence of God? Not as much through the thunderstorms and the wind and the fire and the earthquakes, but that still small voice of love that we show as Christians. Number 429, they'll know we are Christians.